good and orderly discussion this evening. And we're going to call at this time Brother Jason Weatherly for his second and final affirmative of the evening.
Once again, Mr. Cameraman, can you hear me over the mic? Great. Ladies and gentlemen, it's indeed a privilege to be before you again for the final affirmative of the evening to present to you what I believe to be the truth of God's Word. Give me Mr. Reed's chart number 35. I don't believe that's... Hold my time just for a second. What was the chart you had about reputation? There we go. Thank you. 15. Start my time. Give me my chart number 35. That's the one I was looking at. It is his 15. I've got it in my notes. My chart number 35. Now, friends, this is an election year, and we've heard a lot of things in political debates. And Mr. Reeves tonight kind of reminds me of a Democrat. You see, he has created a problem that does not exist. Bruce says that name can refer to designation, reputation, or authority. Well, the first thing is, I deny that name means authority in Colossians 3:17. Secondly, you cannot have the designation without the person. The two go hand in hand. Finally, you can't have the reputation without the designation or the person. That's how they know your reputation. They either know you personally or they know your name. So there is no problem. It's only in Bruce's imagination. Now, Bruce brought up his charts number 202, his charts number 218. Give me my chart number 90. Now, friends, it is obvious that Bruce has run out of material and he is still beating that same dead horse that we put to rest earlier this week. Bruce could not respond to my negative arguments on Monday night, and he wasted his time Tuesday night trying to patch up the mess that he made on Monday. And I prophesied to you on Tuesday night that Bruce would still be talking about the Godhead on Thursday night. Now, you don't believe in spiritual gifts, but Bruce is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, Bruce, check your calendar, make sure you got the right date, and catch up because you are a day late and a dollar short. Bruce brought up his chart number 205 on Kaufman. Friends, I didn't quote Kaufman on Matthew. I quoted Kaufman on Hebrews 5 and 7. His number 206, he talks about the Greek word heis in John 10:30. It's not the word heis in John 10:30. It was heis in Galatians 3:20 and Mark chapter 12. Heis is the masculine singular in John 10:30. It is hen. It is the neuter. You don't even know which is which. His chart number 91. Now, give me my chart number 32. Now, friends, he's trying to fix the things that Guy in Woods said way back in the day. My chart number 32. Now, you tell me which part of this I misquoted. Here it is. The name was most surely that of Christ pronounced upon us in baptism, and which Christians gladly wear. How do they wear that name? Because it was pronounced upon them in baptism. It doesn't do away with the fact that Guy N. Woods, your champion debater, said the name in James 2 and 7 means the name was called over you in baptism. His chart number 16. He brought up Thayer. Now, give me my chart number 44. You see, Bruce is just a little bit picky and choosy about what he wants to quote concerning Thayer's definition of in the name. Before Thayer ever mentioned anything about authority, he qualified his definition of onama. And Thayer did not hold to the idea that in the name of does not mean to orally invoke the name. He said by a usage Chiefly, Hebraistic, the name is used for everything which the name covers. Everything, the thought or feeling which is roused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name for one's rank, authority, interest, pleasure, by one's command, authority, acting on his behalf, promoting his cause. So before he ever said anything about authority, he qualified it by referring to mentioning the name. Friends, Thayer did not deny that in the name of meant to orally pronounce the name. Chart number 46. Here is a copy of Thayer's definition of onama. Now notice we've got some areas highlighted blue, and we've got some areas highlighted green. The areas highlighted blue indicate where Thayer refers to orally pronouncing the name, or orally invoking the name, and the areas highlighted in green indicate where Thayer refers to authority. Now notice how much Thayer had to say about in the name had to deal with orally pronouncing the name. And also notice that the areas dealing with authority were sandwiched between those areas about pronouncing the name, because to Thayer the two go hand in hand. And again, Thayer did not deny the idea of orally pronouncing the name. My chart number 47. Let's teach you a little bit about Thayer. You see, Bruce believes that Thayer's lexicon is to the Greek language what Webster is to the English language. That's a common misconception, but it's absolutely not true. Thayer's lexicon to the Greek language would be more like comparing Windows 95 to Windows Vista. It works, but it's obsolete. Thayer's lexicon was obsolete the day it rolled off the printing presses, because around that time, some evidence was found, some archaeological evidence was found, which shed a lot of light on the Greek language as it was used in the day of our Lord. So much that Dr. Collet from the University of Chicago said that many phrases that were hitherto impossible now became common. Thayer even said that in his time, there was not a satisfactory definition of in the name. You see, what Bruce hasn't done is he hasn't checked what Thayer told him to check. If you'll notice here, Thayer said to confer with W390, 365, which refers to Thayer's edition of G.B. Winer's Grammar of the Idiom of the New Testament, page 390, section 365, in which he said, even in the most recent lexicons, the significance of this preposition have been unwarrantedly multiplied, or its real significations incorrectly applied to passages of the New Testament. The interpretations which have been given to the phrase in the name of, in particular, are protean. Protean means variable. Only the various verbs which are limited by in the name require the expositor's attention in order that the various senses may be traced back severally in the simplest manner to the literal meaning of the phrase. This task has not yet been performed satisfactorily, not even by Mayer. Now in 1903, after these discoveries were made of the Koine Greek language, Wilhelm Heinemüller offered his 327-page dissertation on the phrase in the name of. He researched every occurrence in the Old Testament, New Testament, and early church writing on the phrase in the name of, and he stated on page 127, the phrase baptized in and F of the name gives a description of the process of baptism. They indicate that the baptism took place during the naming of the name of Jesus. Friends, this is the textbook definition of in the name of. Wilhelm Heinemüller is quoted over and over again in the Bauer Art Gingrich Denker lexicon, the most authoritative lexicon there is today. Wilhelm Heinemüller is quoted by Greek Grammar Beyond the Basics. It's quoted by Ernest Hankin. It is quoted by hundreds of commentators today. Give me Bruce's chart number 29. Bruce's chart number 29. Hold my time then. That's not it. Give me your chart on vines. What's my time? 21 minutes. Thank you. There you go. Bring up the animation. All right, start my time again. Now, Mr. Reeves brought up Vines' definition of in the name of, and he said that I misuse the scholars. Give me my chart number 42. Now, Bruce quotes his Vines dictionary, and he sometimes quotes definition number one, and he sometimes quotes definition number four, but how is it if you can quote one and you can quote four that you can miss definition number three, where Vines said that the phrase in the name of means an acknowledgement or confession of the name? Acts 8:16, that's a baptismal passage, and confession is something that is done with the mouth. Don't talk to me about misusing the passages or misusing the scholars. Give me Bruce's chart number 106. He brought up Colossians 3:17, and man, he kind of hit that and he left it. He hit it and left it, but let's just deal with it. Give me my chart number 36. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, Bruce teaches that Colossians 3:17 means that everything I do must be authorized by the will and word of the Lord. That's from the Reeves Shield debate, page 168. And Bruce made some statements in that debate, such as, before we can open a door by the authority of the Lord. Really? Which doors does the Lord authorize us to open? Storm doors? Barn doors? Which ones? Bruce made statements like, before you can do anything, pour a cup of coffee by the authority of Christ. Well, which cups does he authorize us to pour? Are we authorized to pour Folgers? Maxwell House? Is there a particular brand that he authorizes? It's ludicrous to think that I've got to have the authority of Jesus Christ to open a door or pour a cup of coffee. The context of Colossians 3:17 is not talking about the authority of Jesus Christ. Chart number 37. I want you to notice that when Bruce quoted Colossians 3:17, he didn't really quote it all the way, did he? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. But that's not all it says. It says, whatsoever you do all in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now the word do in the phrase, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, is in italics, showing that it is not in the original Greek text, but was added by the King James translators. Colossians 3:17 in Nestle's Greek text says, everything you do in word or work, all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, give thanks to God and the Father by Him. The adverbial prepositional phrase, in the name of the Lord Jesus, modifies the present active participle, give thanks, and it tells us how to give thanks. In all things we do, when we give thanks to God the Father, we orally invoke the name of Jesus. We do this by saying, thank you, Jesus. My chart number 38. Now, Elmer Moore with the Churches of Christ once said that if you ever had a question about the book of Colossians, you could find a parallel to it in the book of Ephesians. So let's notice a parallel between these two verses, and let's read the context of Colossians 3. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now notice Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Friends, those are synonymous passages. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are synonymous passages. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit to the Lord. Verse 22 in Ephesians 5, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Friends, just putting the scriptures together shows they are synonymous passages. Colossians 3:17 doesn't have anything to do about whatever you do. It's got to be authorized by the Lord. Like, you can't open those doors without the authority of the Lord. I can't sit in that pew without the authority of the Lord. I can't tie my shoes without the authority of the Lord. It has to do with giving thanks unto God. Bauer, Art, Gingrich, Danker, Greek English Lexicon, page 572 says, to thank God in the name of Jesus while naming the name of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5 and 20. Bruce's chart number 8. He said that I have two choices. Now, friends, he didn't recognize the fact that I made mention of James 5:14. I said, no, not specifically. However, James 5:14 does tell us to anoint the sick with oil in the name of the Lord. He talked about the raising of Dorcas, and he tried to appeal to Mark 16:17 and following, which says, in my name shall they cast out devils. Did Peter cast a devil out of Dorcas, or did he raise her from the dead? See, it's not even germane, friends. It doesn't even go together. Give me his chart number 109. Give me my chart number 82. Now, Bruce tries to quote one of our big dogs, St. Bernard. And he stated that Bernard, he tries to make you think that Bernard agrees with his position. And Brother Bernard does not. Brother Bernard said, where there is occasion to invoke God's name, Christians should use the spoken name of Jesus as an expression of faith in Him and obedience to His Word. David Bernard, The Oneness View of Jesus Christ, page 24. So before Bruce tries to goose me on the issue, he needs to take a gander at what our preachers actually state. Give me his chart number 78. What's my time? Thank you. His chart number 78. All right, Bruce is talking about that this was what the sinners were to do. What the sinners were to do. Give me my chart number 17. Friends, we want to know, was it what they said or what was done? It was both. We showed you over and over again from the Bauer, Gingrich, Danker lexicon, which he failed to mention. He didn't look at any of the Greek scholars, any of the Hebrew scholars. We put the chart up there. He asked for the chart. Go to the next one. It was the Hebrew scholars that said, calling on the name equals in the name of. He said, no, it's not that one. Get that one off now. Off. Can't handle that. Can't handle the Hebrew scholars. You can't handle the Greek scholars because you can't handle the truth, Bruce. Chart number 79. Bruce's chart number 79. My chart number 18. Now, Bruce has indicated correctly that the phrase in the name of Jesus Christ modifies both repent and be baptized. And as we've already shown you, the phrase in the name of Jesus means naming or calling upon the name. Now, the word repent is an active imperative. It shows the sinner's active role in repentance, and yes, they do verbally call upon the name of Jesus in their repentance. However, the word baptize is in the passive voice. It indicates to be baptized by another person. It indicates the sinner's passive role in being baptized, and thus the baptizer calls the name of Jesus over the candidate. Give me his chart number 18. Bruce talked about the middle voice. Give me his chart on the middle voice. Hold my time just for a second, please. Don, that's fine. Skip it. Give me my chart number 21. I can go without looking at his chart. He talked about the middle voice, and he said those things in Acts 22 are the things that Paul was to do. Now, the word baptize is in the middle voice. Does that mean that Paul was supposed to go baptize somebody? No, it means that Paul was to get baptized. The word wash is in the middle voice. Does that mean Paul was supposed to go wash somebody? No, it means that Paul was to get washed. So if baptize in the middle voice means get yourself washed, or get yourself baptized, and wash in the middle voice means get yourself washed, then the word call in the same verse, the same voice, the same context must mean get called upon you, His name. Now, what does the causative middle voice mean? I have four standard Greek grammars. Glossa Brunner Funk, Grammar of the Greek New Testament, page 166, says the middle voice in the sense of to let oneself be or get. Thayer's edition of Weiner's Grammar, page 254 through 255, says the middle often blends with the passives. Some tenses of the middle assume a passive signification. Now, Daniel Wallace, Greek Grammar Beyond the Basics, says that Acts 22:16 can be understood as either a causative middle or a permissive middle. He says the causative middle, the subject has something done for or to himself. These were things Paul was going to get done to him. He wasn't commanded to go baptize. He wasn't commanded to go wash away somebody's sins. He wasn't commanded to go call on the name. He was commanded, get yourself baptized, get your sins washed away, get called upon you. His name, the permissive middle, Wallace says, the subject allows something to be done for or to himself. The permissive middle is also like a passive in that the subject is the receiver of the action. Paul was going to receive baptism, receive washing away, and receive the name of Jesus called over him. A.T. Robertson, Large Grammar, page 808 and 1110 says, some few of these causative middles could be explained as passives, but by no means all. Acts 22:16, we have the causative middle. One a direct, the other an indirect. Get yourself baptized and get your sins washed away. The voice is running the participle precisely as in the verb itself. The middle and epikaleo, Acts 22:16. Thus the full force of Acts 22:16 is get yourself baptized, get your sins washed away, get called upon you His name. My chart number 5. Bruce had a little bit to say about this. Well, let's just inject his definition of in the name in the passage. You shall not swear falsely by my authority. The prophets prophesy lies by my authority. You have spoken lying words by my authority. All people will walk everyone by the authority of their false gods. Now friends, we don't believe false gods have authority. Thou speakest lies by the authority of the Lord. Chart number 6. In the name does not mean by the authority. The Bible says, I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name. Now Bruce's view is that they prophesy a lie by my authority. Now, Bruce said in the Reef Shield debate, the whole point is when the people heard a prophet that said, I am prophesying in His name, it was not them pronouncing Jehovah or Jesus. They were claiming the message was from God. No doubt, but they claimed the message was from God by invoking His name, as in saying, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord has said. So Bruce admits that when they prophesied in His name, it meant they spoke the name. Give me my chart number 7. Now the Bible doesn't say that they claimed or they pretended that they did it in the name of the Lord. It says that the Lord said they actually did these things in His name. The Lord says they actually spoke lying words in His name. It doesn't say they pretended to speak lying words in His name. These passages indicate that they prophesied lies while they orally invoked the name of the Lord. Kittle's Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says, it thus seems that naming my name is the only possibility. Chart number 48. Friends, he talks about books and looking at books. I got one right here you need to start checking out, Bruce. You agree with me that we must baptize in the name of Jesus. Now, if I can prove to you that in the name of means to orally invoke the name, then Bruce would have to admit that we must baptize orally invoking the name. And if we must baptize while in orally invoking the name, your baptism is not valid unless you have that name called over you. I referenced this in my first speech. He totally ignored the Bauer Gingrich Danker lexicon. Page 288. The formula in the name of, used with many verbs, probably means in connection with, by the use of, naming, calling out, calling upon the name. Friends, this is the textbook used in Bible colleges for their Greek scholars. If you take a Greek class at a Bible college, this is going to be your textbook. What do they say that in the name of means? With mention of the name, while naming or calling on the name. In the name of equals with mention of the name. If we agree that we must baptize in the name of means naming the name, with mention of the name. You agree with me that we must baptize in the name of, the phrase in the name of means mentioning the name. You've got to baptize and call that name over them. Or the name, or the baptism is not valid. Chart number 58. You see, the problem is that Bruce has got a dizzy doctrine. He can't make up his mind what name means. In one breath, he says it means authority. Another breath, he's going to tell you it means person. Another breath, he's going to say will or blessing. So Bruce has gone round and round trying to prove that name means something other than what it means. It means name. So Bruce, you need to get off your merry-go doctrine and just accept the Bible truth that in the name of Jesus means calling the name. And thus to be baptized or to baptize in the name of Jesus means that we must baptize while orally pronouncing the name of Jesus. What's my time? Great. Chart number 10. 1 Samuel 25:9-10, he said, it means that they were sent by the authority of David. Friends, he didn't answer the argument of the context of the passage. How did Nabal know they spoke in the name of David if the name wasn't invoked? Why would he say, who is David? Well, where did that come from? Friends, it's obvious that when they spoke in the name of David, they orally invoked his name. What does that have to do with the issue? It proves that the phrase, in the name of, by the Scriptures, means orally pronounce the name. And Bruce already said he agrees we must baptize in the name of Jesus. Thus, this proves in the name of means orally pronounce the name. Bruce has got to agree that we must baptize while orally pronouncing the name. Chart number 11. He put this one up and got it right back down because you know what, friends? It doesn't go with his doctrine. Calling on the name equals in the name of. In the name of, to call with. Calling on the name of Yahweh, use his name. The formula in the name signifies mention or utterance of the name. Chart number 12. How did he know that he cast out devils in Jesus' name? It wasn't talking about authority. Because he forbid him to do it. If he thought he was authorized, why would he say, hey, don't be doing that? How did he know he did it in Jesus' name? What did he have to say about all these other ones? What did he have to say about the Bauer, Gingrich, Danker lexicon? He didn't say anything about it. Chart number 16. Now he said that Thayer does not say anything about baptizing while orally invoking the name. I gave this in my first speech, Thayer page 94, under the Greek word baptizo, which means to baptize in the name of, to profess. Friends, that is a oral pronunciation. Even the scholar he tried to use doesn't go with his position. Thayer did not deny that in the name of means to profess the name of one whose followers we become. And notice all those baptism passages. Chart number 15. Scholar after scholar, friends, Schaff Herzog Encyclopedia, baptism takes place with the utterance of the name. Bauer Gingrich Danker, with mention of the name, naming, calling on the name. The most general meaning of in the name is with invocation of. Wilhelm Heidemuller, the baptism took place during the naming of the name of Jesus. What's my time? 3 minutes. Chart number 30. What did he have to say about Acts 15:17 and James 2:7? He quibbled over a quote from Guy in Woods, which I showed you was not taken out of context. What did he have to say about this? Acts 15:17, the name of the Lord was called upon the Gentiles. This was used in defense of their conversion. Where in their conversion was the name called? At their baptism. What did he say about the Amplified Bible's translation? The name of Christ was invoked in baptism. When I'm down to 1 minute, I want you to hold up number one. Just like one God, one person in the Godhead. Notes on James, my chart number 32. And I don't mind if you holler out and say, hey, look at me. Chart number 32. James Burton Kaufman, what? The obvious reference, what? The obvious reference here is to the name of Jesus. These are your scholars, friends. These are your scholars. The obvious reference is to the name of Jesus, in the name of whom all Christians were baptized. There is no doubt that the reference is to the name of Christ, which was invoked upon them at their baptism. Friends, I have showed you that in the name of means to call the name. Bruce agrees that we must baptize in the name of Jesus. Therefore, we must, the Bible teaches, we must baptize in the name of Jesus, which means we must baptize naming, calling out, calling upon the name of Jesus. Friends, if you didn't get the name of Jesus called over you in your baptism, you went down a dry sinner, you came up a wet sinner, you are still in your sins. Chart number 62. We want to show you the affirmative proofs we use versus the negative rebuttals. We showed you that in the name of does not mean by the authority, and Bruce wasted his time, his precious time, talking about Monday and Tuesday night. Get with the program, Bruce. We showed you that consistent use of in the name means calling on the name. We showed you from the Hebrew and Greek scholars that in the name of means calling the name. Even Thayer, friends, even vines, the two that he took out of context. We showed you that believers had the name of Jesus called upon them, and we showed you from the commentaries of your own Church of Christ scholars that the phrase in the name of means they had the name of Jesus called over them in baptism versus what? These so-called negative proofs where he flip-flops back and forth. It's a juggling act of what the word name means. He used Colossians 3:17, taken out of context. He hit and missed. We're going to hear a lot about it tomorrow night. He took Thayer's lexicon. He halfway quoted it. He took it out of context. And number four, he took Vine's expository dictionary. He halfway quoted it and took it out of context. Friends, we have proven to you tonight that the phrase in the name of Jesus means to orally invoke the name of Jesus. Thus, when you baptize in the name of Jesus, you must baptize while naming the name of Jesus. I thank you for your time.
Well, I appreciate your patience tonight. Sitting through a debate like this sometimes can wear on you a little bit. Thank you for being here this evening. Mr. Weatherly said to us earlier on that this idea of in the name of Jesus does not mean authority. He said that in his first speech. He said it. I mean, his whole second speech was littered with this idea. But then when he was talking about those prophets, and I made the point about the charts that he used, that they were claiming authority, he agreed, well, yeah, they were claiming authority, and said something like, that's why they invoked the name. Is invoking the name including authority, according to Mr. Weatherly? Because he said invoking the name is not authority at all. So over there in Colossians 3, and by the way, Mr. Weatherly, and I have gotten a very clear picture about why he's in error. He apparently thinks noting distinct context and understanding that a phrase and a word can be used in different ways in a different context, he calls that flip-flopping. I'm flip-flopping. He talked about being dizzy. Well, I'll tell you who's dizzy is somebody who doesn't understand that words have real meanings. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, they have more than one meaning. And so, for instance, the name, I mean, this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely absurd what he said about the different usages of name. Proverbs 22:1 is talking about a reputation. Matthew 1:21 is dealing with an appellative or designation. And Colossians 3:17. And boy, do our wondrous Pentecostal friends want to get out of Colossians 3:17. They have struggled with that passage, and he hatched up this thanks argument tonight. And the fact is that really what Paul was saying? We're going to look at Colossians 3 in a minute. When he talks about our marriages and he talks about our parent-child relationship, and he talks about your work ethic. Talks about all of that. Isn't that talking about authority? And Mr. Weatherling got up here, 202. You talk about dodging. Mr. Weatherly said, well, you know, implied Bruce must not be satisfied with Monday and Tuesday. He's trying to drudge up Monday and Tuesday. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were just halfway listening, you know, Mr. Weatherly, sometimes I get the feeling that you listen to me about like your moderator listened to you on Tuesday night. But if you would listen to what I'm saying here, these quotations, clearly, it's not about the Godhead or baptismal formula. It's about how you approach the Scripture and how you approach the scholars. And you approach the Scriptures and you approach the scholars about the same way. And that's why you are in error. Now, I showed you, you made... Yes, and by the way, the idea that we didn't answer you on Tuesday is not true. We did. I just don't think you got the verse that we gave you. It had the same word in it. You might want to check that out. But these passages clearly showed that you misused them. Now, let me tell you what you did. You put font. By the way, sometimes you might want to get some bigger font. I guess I'm getting old. I know my hair's falling out. My wife's always telling me that. I don't like to look in the mirror from behind, so I feel pretty good about myself. But you know, you put that little bitty font and you throw all those scholars up there and you're misusing them. There's no doubt about it. You talk about dodging. By the way, your argument on Mark 12 was that there was one singular person and the scholars that you put up there say nope. Now then, 203. Same thing there. 204. Now who's mixed up here? You might want to think about that a little bit. God, I'll tell you what. You talked about Brother Woods again. Poor old Brother Woods, not here to defend himself, but 91. This is your 32. You're 32. Hello? Hello? Number 32, please. You know, there's such a thing as making a mistake, and then there's such a thing as just being flat stubborn about making a mistake. Now, look up here, Mr. Weatherly. Just look, and this demonstrate. We were demonstrating a pattern of behavior. We've seen it. That was the point. You read this, the phrase by which you were called, and you read on down here, the verb called is from epikaleo, aorist passive participle, and signified to assign a name to and place a name upon. This name was most assuredly that of Christ pronounced upon us in baptism. Listen, comma. Don't stop quoting at the comma. Bad idea. And which Christians gladly wear because given by divine... Woo! Authority. Given by divine authority. Now look there at Acts 11:26. What is it Brother Woods was talking about, ladies and gentlemen? They were first called Jesus? They were first called Christians. Now it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that. I haven't misquoted Thayer. Listen here. 22. This is what Thayer says. This is what Thayer says about the baptism passages. Now let me tell you what Mr. Weatherly wants to do. He wants to go grab one of those other definitions and stick it in there. He's dealing with that about like these other contexts. And the problem is that's not what Thayer said. Now let me tell you, the final authority is the Scripture. The Scripture. What do the Scriptures teach? What do the Scriptures teach? But Thayer, you know what? You misrepresented Thayer. You misrepresented Kaufman. You misrepresented all these other folks. You're misrepresenting the Word of God, it seems to me. Acts 2:38, upon the name of Christ to do anything relying upon the name, that is the authority of anyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by one's command and authority. Now remember, and I want you to think about this. Mr. Weatherly says, in the name of Jesus, does not include authority. Now, did I miss that one? But that's not what Thayer says, Mr. Weatherly. That's not what Thayer says at all. You might not want to quote him a whole lot. You brought up Weiner. Whew! You waxed the elephant about Weiner. Well, you know, we went and looked up Weiner. There you go again. Page 390. Even in most recent lexicons, the significations of this preposition have been unwarrantably multiplied, or its real significations is incorrectly applied to pages of the New Testament, etc. He says, and something takes place in a person's name when it is comprehended or embraced in his name, is set down to his personal activity. We're talking about person. Here belongs also. By the way, this is why Thayer cites Weiner, not because Weiner disagreed with him. He's using Weiner as a source. To do something upon the name of someone, that is, in doing to rely upon or have reference to the name of someone, the expression has various applications in the New Testament. To teach upon the name of Christ by referring to him as the source of doctrine and authority. Now, that's not Mr. Weatherly. Because he said, nope, doesn't mean that at all. Now, something else. When you put all those quotes up there, Mr. Weatherly, you're asserting and assuming and proving and demonstrating it's not high on your list. Now, every false teacher does this. He assumes and he asserts and he interprets the passage to fit that, but he doesn't really prove and demonstrate from the Scripture. Have we seen some proving and demonstrating from the Scripture? He goes to these contexts where these scholars mention confessed. If you'll read the fine print, they mention confessed. Who confesses? The baptizer? Or the baptized? They mention profess. Let me tell you something. The sinner who's repenting professes. He professes, not the baptizer. And so these issues are related because of the way you have conducted yourself. Now I'm going to tell you, I would not want to be in Mr. Weatherly's shoes tonight. He has belittled. Did you all hear him belittle the idea of doing everything in the authority of the Lord? He's belittled. Doesn't fit his interpretation. He belittled that. Let me say, yes. Everything. Write it down. Take it home with you. Everything I do must be by the authority of my Lord. If it's not by the authority of my Lord, it is sin. Now let's look at Colossians 3. That's what Colossians 3 is talking about. Don't do that. Don't belittle doing things in the authority of the Lord. By the way, I quoted all of Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wouldn't it make sense that that's modifying the context you find it in? Open your Bibles up there. Let's study a little bit. Colossians 3. You know, here Paul is... why is verse 17 in there? Colossians 3, he talks over here in verse 4 about our hope, and then in verse 5 he talks about our moral conduct, fornication and uncleanness. You know, it kind of makes me wonder. I don't want to be too graphic, but all those sins there, is that in the name of Jesus as long as somebody says Jesus? Mr. Weatherland, don't remember, he said that in the name of Jesus does not include authority. So what it is invoking the name. What if somebody invokes the name and they're doing sin? Is that in the name of Jesus? Does that make any good nonsense? He said in verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you walked in times past. He talks about anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth and not lying. And he talks about treating one another in love. And he talks about worshiping in the name of Jesus. That's not just saying Jesus. And he talks about wives submitting yourselves unto your husbands. Now, I want to show you something. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. That's to be in the name of Jesus. Husbands, love your wives, all the way down through that context. What do you mean that's not talking about by authority? Do you know why he has to say that? Because he wants to hold up this baptismal formula idea, and Colossians 3 shoots a big gaping hole in it. And while I'm here, Mr. Weatherly, I told you, and this goes back to your pattern of conduct regarding why we're having these problems and accusing people of flip-flopping because they know different context, which you have to do as a Bible student. And I challenge you, I said, there are those books right over there on that table. There are those books, those quotes. Pick them up. Read them. Show me I'm wrong. Make me a liar. Show me I'm wrong. You know, the Bible says, let God be true to every man a liar. I said, here are the books. You come get the books. You show me the quote. And you didn't do it. You just fussed. All right, 107. Wait a minute. I'll tell you what. Yeah, let's move on. By the way, I never said Bernard agreed with me. What I'm saying is, Bernard takes Mr. Weller's position. They don't agree with each other. Tell you what, go to my 78. Let's back up. We'll be there in just a minute. Go to 107. Ladies and gentlemen, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Mr. Weatherly says to get to the power, you have to invoke the name in your baptism. I don't think that's a misrepresentation. I think that's what he told you. But we read about these folks who did this in the name of the Lord, but Mr. Weatherly says there was this time when it was done and the name was not invoked. Play that quote, Don.
What the name of Jesus, but Jesus' name was spoken orally every time that a healing took place in the New Testament? The answer is no. For example, the raising of Lazarus, the name of Jesus was not invoked. Like the raising of Dorcas, the name of Jesus was not invoked.
Number eight. Mr. Weatherly said that invoking the name does not include authority, so I guess, according to him, Peter did not raise Dorcas in the name of Jesus. Huh? Peter didn't raise Dorcas in the name of Jesus? Acts 22:16. Mr. Weatherly, let's move on. Let me tell you something. If sometimes Colossians 3:17 means it's the attitude in which we do a thing in submission to the authority of the Lord, then it always means that, friends. It always means that. You know, I want to show you this. Mark 16:15-16, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, Romans 10 just takes that order and it switches it on you. And it says, sent, preach, hear, believe, and call. Now, in Acts 22:16, the one who is commanded to arise is the one who's commanded to be baptized, and the one who's commanded to be baptized is the one that's going to be forgiven. Isn't that the one that calls on the name of the Lord? I mean, don't you have to just change that whole context to get something else out of it? It's the sinner who calls. He invokes the Lord's blessing by doing what he says. Here's number five. Now, I want to go to my 63. Mr. Weatherly, look at these. And you shall not swear falsely in my name. Neither shall you profane, I want to show you this now, the name of your God. Does he just mean his designation? No, then he says, I am the Lord. Don't profane me. And what they were doing is they were claiming to have his authority. Jeremiah 14:14, the prophets. What were they doing? They were saying, we were sent by God. Look at the passage. Now notice this. The Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not. Neither have I what? neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. God says, I didn't command them. They were saying, we have been commanded. Now, when they said, we have been commanded, what were they saying? We have authority from God. That's what they were saying. Isn't that what this is? Yes, it is. I'm not going to ask a question. I'll tell you this. Jeremiah 29:23, because they have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives and spoken lying words in my name, which I have... There it is again. Commanded. Authority. Command. For all people walk every one of them in the name of his God, and we walk in the name of the Lord our God forever. They're walking. You get the point. Now, look at Matthew 7 with me. Let me show you a text that will explain this to some degree, if we can. Time, John. Okay, good. All right, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now remember, Mr. Weatherly has told us that invoking the name doesn't have anything to do with authority. Nothing. Doesn't have anything to do with authority. It's just saying it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. You know, if in the name of Jesus means you, it doesn't mean that you have to have authority. Let's think through this. Let's just kind of pull this thing down a little bit and think logically for a moment. If in the name of Jesus does not have anything to do with authority, then when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, wouldn't, according to Mr. Weatherly's definition, wouldn't that be invoking the name of Jesus? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Does the will of my Father. That's authority. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. They were claiming, they claimed in thy name, not a verbal formula, it was a claim to practice that which was authorized. They said, this is authorized of God. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. That means I was never in a relationship with you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That means to be without authority. So that's without authority. Their claims were not consistent with their practice. Number 58. Number 58. You're 58, yeah. Sorry, I said y'all, didn't I? Number 58. Our 89 and 90. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it's talking about. This is the problem. Anybody who reads English language understands sometimes words are used differently. You know, over there, you cited John. Let me show you this. You cited John 14 in verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, there's in my name. But over here in 1 John 5:14, John says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, Mr. Weatherly, are you saying name doesn't, it can't equal will? It does with John 14:14 and with 1 John 5:14. Let's turn back over to Acts chapter 2. Let's open our Bibles. Let's look at these baptism passages. Let's just look at the Scriptures. Let's just look at the Scriptures. I appreciate your good attention tonight. Acts chapter 2. All right. Peter's preaching. Day of Pentecost. And we come to the culmination of this sermon in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. 78, Don. Let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, When they heard this, what did they hear? When they heard this, they, notice the emphasis here, they heard, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall the baptizer say? Is that how your Bible reads? No. Let's try this again. Now when they, those sinners, heard this, they, those sinners, were pricked in their heart, and those sinners said, by the way, it was the sinners that said, unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Not what must the baptizer say. What must we do? This is about what the sinners were told to do. Then Peter said unto them, repent. What the sinners were told to do, repent and be baptized. What the sinners were told to do, every one of you. Now just look in your Bible. Let's just, you know, slow down and have some Bible study here. Look in your Bible. Let every one of you. Now who is the every one of you? Is the every one of you the baptizer who's talking? No. Then Peter said unto them, the sinners, repent, sinners, and be baptized, sinners, every one of you, sinners, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you, again you, the sinners, shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you, the sinners, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words that he testified in short, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I mean, are we really to believe that what this text means is that if the baptizer doesn't say Jesus, that they could not be saved? The whole emphasis on in the name of Jesus is by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Colossians 3:17 is talking about. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Here we are in Acts 2, and the emphasis is regarding in the name of Jesus Christ what these sinners were told to do. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 8. Let's turn over to Acts the 8th chapter. And by the way, you know over here in Acts chapter 8, you remember all those quotes about profession and confession and all of that? Listen, that's talking of his very quotes. This is Mr. Weatherly's quotes. His very quotes about profession and confession. Let me ask you something. Who professes? The baptizer or the one being baptized? Who confesses? Do you know what? The only passage in the Bible that I can find. Now, Mr. Weller, if you can find another one, boy, bring that thing out tomorrow night. But just look at this. The only passage that deals with something being said is over here in Acts 8 and verse 37 when Philip said, see there in Acts 8:37? I think one of your charts may have even had Acts 8:37 on there. And Philip said to this sinner, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was the confession, and it wasn't from the preacher or baptizer. It was from the sinner who was repenting and being baptized, which is exactly what's going on over there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And when we come to Acts chapter 8, notice verse 16. For as yet, well, let's go back up in the context. Verse 12. For when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, by the way, that has to do with authority, and the name of Jesus Christ has to do with authority, and they were baptized, both men and women. And we move on down, it says in verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something, and I'll challenge Mr. Weatherly, he's got tomorrow, we've got tomorrow night, that's all that's left. Those prepositional phrases, I'm challenging right now, Mr. Weatherly, I want you to bring me definitions tomorrow night and prove that any of those phrases regarding into the name or in the name ever can be proven to be pronouncement. You like the scholars? Bring me a scholar that says in the name of Jesus Christ with the, I tell you what, give me the meaning of the preposition. Not just somebody's opinion. I want the meaning of the prepositions because none of those prepositions in and of themselves demand pronouncement. Now as we look at this passage here, look at verse 16 again. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. Let's turn over there. There's another. By the way, are you starting to see why Thayer says this is by the authority of? Let me tell you, friends, there are people running around all over the place saying they're doing things in the name of Jesus. According to the way Mr. Weatherly has defined in the name of Jesus, that means they're doing it in the name of Jesus. You know how many people are going around saying, because he says, well, invoking the name of Jesus doesn't mean by the authority of. All right, if it doesn't mean by the authority of, anytime somebody says, I'm doing it in the name of Jesus, it's in the name of Jesus. And then he flips over there with Dorcas being raised from the dead and says that wasn't in the name of Jesus because it was not invoked. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, and he commanded them. Who was commanded? Look in your Bible. Who was commanded? Who was the subject? Who was the recipient of the command? Not the baptizer. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of... He commanded them. Now that comes from the final authority. That's the Bible. And then turn over to Acts 19 and verse 5. That's a good sound, by the way. When they heard this, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let me tell you, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with saying the name of Jesus. I don't have a problem with that. It's a beautiful name. It's a wonderful name. But this misunderstanding, Mr. Weatherly and the Oneness Pentecostal Church International and those who follow him are binding something that God does not bind because they have a false concept of who God is. And it all is worked in together. And we're starting to see why. We're seeing trivial treatment as he quotes these scholars. We're seeing how he jumps from one place to the other and then accuses someone of flip-flopping because as a Bible student, they know that words can be used in different ways and there's different contexts. And he just hasn't... He's read from a lot of folks, but he has not gone to the Word of God and proven this point. In the name of Jesus has to do with by the authority of. You're submitting to the authority of. It's not what the baptizer says. This is about you obeying the gospel. You obeying the gospel and coming into fellowship with God. And by the way, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins and calling on the name of the Lord. It is not the baptizer who calls on the name of the Lord for you. It's you. Thank you.